You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Tomorrow night, we got college basketball. We got the number one team in the country, Gonzaga, hosting rival Pepperdine. Our coverage will tip off 9 Eastern on ESPN and on the ESPN app. Dan Schulman and Jay Billis will be on the call. Then right after that, you got number 10 Oregon, number 11 Arizona in women's basketball. So a great night of college basketball coming your way tomorrow here on ESPN. And we are jam-packed this morning as we roll on with you on this Wednesday. Greeny and Graziano. We have Dominique Foxworth and Damian Woody as well as we work our way towards the divisional round of the playoffs and the fascinating matchups we will see this weekend. We come to you live, as always, from the Seaport District at Pier 17, brought to you by Chase. And let's roll the menu, because it is time to get up with the future host of Jeopardy, Aaron Rodgers, who could rewrite his entire NFL legacy in the next 3 weeks. We'll explain. Plus, the Saints have owned this matchup this year, but we've got the one reason this time is going to be different. Wait until you hear who that is. And then James Harden says out loud what we've known all along. He wants out. So what happens now? Woj has the answers as we get up with you, starting right now with the quarterbacks and legends on display this weekend. Patrick Mahomes could make his third straight AFC Championship game if he's able to beat the Browns. He would be the fifth quarterback ever to reach 3 straight AFC Championship games. Then you have the legends, the battle of the ages, and the aged Tom Brady and Drew Brees facing off. If Brady makes it, it's his 14th conference championship game. And then, of course, Aaron Rodgers off a bye, looking to go to the championship game of the conference for the second consecutive year. Meanwhile, here's a hot take from yesterday for the Big Swagger.
If Aaron Rodgers goes out here and dumps all over the Los Angeles Rams, the Packers going to the Super Bowl. If this dude go out here and have one of the games that he's been having all season long against this defense, then look, let's not even play the NFC Championship. It'll be the Green Bay Packers representing the NFC in the Super Bowl.
Hot take alert from the big fella. Dominique Foxworth, what do you think?
I mean, I guess either it's hyperbole or he thinks this is a World Cup qualifying stage round where collective points matter. You don't get to carry the points over. The teams that they are going to play against, if they win this round, the Bucks or the Saints, both of those teams can beat could beat Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. Man, we're coming off a segment with Orlovsky saying something ridiculous, and then my man Spears saying something absurd. What are they doing? Are they drinking before they do that show? Are they high as a satellite on NFL Live? It's outrageous.
They do seem to have a great deal of fun, but let me try and make some sense of it, Damian Woody, for you. I believe what Marcus is saying is that if Aaron Rodgers and this offense are able to, in his words, dump all over this defense with Aaron Donald, not sure if he meant that literally or not, but you got Aaron Donald, you got Jalen Ramsey. This is the best defense they will see. If they're able to light them up, then I think what he's basically saying is nobody's going to stop him. And I don't think that's so crazy. What do you think, D. Wood?
The problem with that, Greeny, is you still got the other side of the ball. Like, who's scared of Jared Goff? You know what I mean? Like, yeah, like, if Aaron Rodgers dominate the Los Angeles Rams defense, there are teams in the NFC right now that are more complete than the Los Angeles Rams. So, listen, I got to ride with Dominique on this one. I don't know what the hell Spears was drinking off before the show, but he was definitely feeling himself with that one.
I demand that the producers never do this split screen with me and Woody again, because I don't know, whatever one of your daughters is doing your makeup, she got your face beat and it make me look shiny and greasy, and I don't like it. I don't want split screens with him until I get a real makeup artist here.
Hey, hold on, let me tell you something. I did my own makeup. You can ask them. So, yes. Yeah, I do my own makeup,
You got to do tutorials. You need a YouTube channel. Sorry,
not
Greeny.
Not only that, but I'll just say it again. Cindy, can we just take a single shot of Damian Woody? Your house is the most spectacular place I've ever seen in my entire life. I mean, the combination of the piano, you got the Sistine ceiling behind you over there. This is like the 7th different huge room that we've seen you in since the pandemic began. We are going, Neek, we are doing this show live from the Woody
household.
No,
we are.
Greeny, I've been telling y'all. Greeny, I've been telling y'all when we gonna shoot the show over here. I got room.
No, no. Woody's house is beautiful, but we're not doing nothing there until he get his internet fixed. Your Wi-Fi. Get your Wi-Fi game
I'm
up.
I'm good right now.
I'm trying to get back to the football.
What were we talking about?
Aaron Rodgers against the Rams. Right. This matchup, it's your game. You're covering it.
Yeah.
That was Aaron Rodgers lost in the NFC Championship game last year because a team sort of ran right over.
Oh, yeah.
How different is this team this year?
I think it's a lot different. We heard from Aaron earlier in the show about confidence, right? Like the last year, they were still putting things together on offense. It was the first year under Matt LaFleur. It was Aaron Rodgers' first year in a new system. And we talked about it as it went along, that it's going to take time. And obviously, a lot of things have clicked for them this year. Mentally, Aaron Rodgers seems to be in a great place this year. There's a lot of talk all offseason. Would he be mad, et cetera, et cetera? But everything seems to have been working, and they just look a lot different. Now, look, they did win in this round last year, right? That was the NFC Championship game that they lost to the Niners. So it's not as if they'd be clearing some major hurdle. But the team does have a different feel about it. And coming off the bye, the only team in the conference that got a bye, that matters.
Well, Nick, if I could quickly circle back to you in a serious way. Another thing Orlovsky said here the other day was this was the worst draw that Rodgers could have gotten, that he would like the matchup better against either of the other two teams who were on the other side of the draw in the NFC based upon the defense and particularly Aaron Donald. Does that make sense to you?
No, he was right. It was early. It was before they started doing their NFL live drinking. They were still sane at that point because that made sense. I agree with that, and I think we should also credit Matt LaFleur for their offensive improvement because he's gotten better. As we see Aaron Donald, the biggest problem that LaFleur is going to have to figure out an answer for. So he's gotten better in his second year. It's not all about being comfortable as players and confident as players. It's about the coaches getting better and putting them in the right position. And D Wood, do you use a brush or a sponge? Like, I need to know. I need these tutorial tips because I look shiny and greasy like I'm sweating, and you just look fantastic.
It's a sponge. You got to use anti-shine cream, bro.
There's no question. D Wood is sponge worthy. All right, let's continue here. Let's go to the other game in that. That's a very dated reference. The Buccaneers offense has been on a roll as of late, averaging just over 35 points and close to 500 yards over their last five games. However, against the Saints, it has been a completely different story. New Orleans has held them to 26 total points in their two meetings and just over 250 yards a game. You take a look at the numbers there. Now, the last five games, take it for what it's worth. In those five games, they've beaten Atlanta twice, Minnesota, Detroit, and even their playoff win last week against Washington is a sub-500 team. So, D. Wood, I'm coming to you. The last time these two teams played, it was 38-3 Saints. Why should I expect this to be different?
Well, Greeny, this is a different team. You know, last time you played, you know, Antonio Brown wasn't, you know, really acclimated within the offense. But to me, the biggest thing is how well the Tampa Bay offensive line has been playing. They've been playing lights out. They've been keeping Tom Brady upright. Hell, he hasn't even been touched, you know, hardly at all since the last time those two teams have played. So give a lot of credit to that team. They're able to run the football. And when you're able to run the football, that's when Tom Brady is at his best in play action pass. And that's when they get huge chunks of yards in the passing game. So that's why I think this is a different Tampa Bay Bucs team this time around.
I'm trying to figure out how much to play up the competition here, Dominique. Again, you can look at it either way. They've played five basically under 500 teams, and that's why they've looked so good. Or they figured it out after their bye. Which of those do you lean towards?
Yeah, I lean towards they played five under 500 teams, but I think D. Wood, being an offensive lineman, brought up something that was important that I hadn't considered necessarily is how well that they, I told y'all don't do this, how well that they protected Tom Brady last week against that fantastic defensive line. So that gives me some confidence because we know Tom Brady, if you give him time, you protect him, that he's going to be awesome. But the difference is the Saints, they've been getting after people. We know that the Washington team has the ability to do so. And the fact that the Bucs were able to use play action pass and able to protect Brady, he was able to step up in the pocket. If they can do that against the Saints, they will win that game. But we haven't seen them do that against the Saints, and we've only seen them do it against a good defense last week.
Of course, the Saints swept the season series. And if you hear anyone say to you, it's hard to beat a team three times in one season, immediately stop listening to them because the statistics actually suggest that the opposite is true.
14-7 since the merger, right? Teams that played twice in the regular season then met again, or beat a team twice in the regular season, met again in the postseason, 14-7 in the rematch. So statistically, yes, that is an inaccurate statement.
And thus, maybe the truth is this is just a bad matchup for Tampa Bay.
It may be. Look, I mean, Tampa Bay was 1-4 this year against teams that finished the season with winning records. Now, that's weird because the Saints were only 2-2 against those teams. There were only five teams in the NFC that did that. So that's a little – but what concerns me is the Tampa Bay offense, the significant difference in the way it performed in those games, right? It's not just that they lost those games. Is that, you know, Tom Brady throwing the ball down the field, dramatically different numbers. So unless the pass protection has improved to a point where there's a significant difference. I mean, they lost by 35 points last time. That's a lot to make up. I just don't see it. I think the Saints have the better team.
Well, that's what it comes down to. Again, they have that. They had the very, very late bye week. So all of the numbers we're talking about here, Neek, very quickly, they match up with when they had their bye. So is it conceivable they did their self-scouting? They figured out where it was going wrong. Maybe Arians and Brady had some sort of a meeting where they figured this thing out, and it actually has looked different because to the naked eye, it has.
Yeah, I mean, it's absolutely conceivable, but they haven't been tested. I think that's when you actually find out what type of improvements you've made. And I think last week's game is a vote of confidence for them, but it's not that we haven't seen them. We don't know that they aren't able to do something like that, just that we can't rely on it. We can rely on the Saints. For much of the season, the Saints' defense has been consistent. And when Drew Brees has been out there and had some time to get comfortable, he's been consistent. I feel a lot more confident in what they're doing over there with Sean Payton than I do with Bruce Arians and the Buccaneers.
I think that makes a lot of sense. Should be a fascinating weekend. Meanwhile, we'll take a short break. We have so much more to come as we get up with you. Two superstars upset in Houston. Is there a chance Deshaun Watson is starting for another team next season? Seems impossible. Maybe it isn't. And then the Rockets continuing to struggle and James Harden isn't staying silent anymore. Is there a market for the beard? How long can this continue? Woj has the answers as we get up with you on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
We're back on Get Up, and the game of the night came from the NBA as the Lakers were taking on the Rockets for the second time in 3 days. The Lakers are the only unbeaten team on the road in the league, and it is because they do things like this. Anthony Davis says to James Harden, get that out of here. Lakers had 4 blocks in the first quarter. That's KCP3. Lakers up 21 after one. This was never a game. There was one moment worth seeing, though. Just keep your eye on LeBron. He's going to dish it, then he's going to go to the corner and watch as he puts up the three. He's the only one in the building not watching it. Take another look. We'll show you. The bench goes crazy, and here's why. LeBron would score 26 on the night, but this was definitely the highlight moment. Watch, everyone on the court is watching the ball except LeBron, who just turns and says, oh, yeah, I got this. And in it goes. Lakers win it 117-100. Deshaun Watson was there taking in all the action. James Harden, meanwhile, not happy and couldn't hold it in anymore.
We're just not good enough. Obviously, chemistry, talent-wise, just everything, and it was clear. I love this city. I literally done everything that I can. The situation is crazy. You know, it's something that I don't think can be fixed. So, thanks.
I can't be more direct than that. Don't think can be fixed. So here's Woj. Woj, what happens now? This has been going on now for months. Where are we with regard to a James Harden trade?
Greeny, Houston continues to talk with teams about a Harden trade. They would do one right now if there was a deal in place that they felt gave them maximum value, that ultimately was as good as anything they could get for him. But, you know, they've worked with James Harden. They've talked about the teams he would like to go play for, Brooklyn, Philadelphia, at the top of that list. Listen, this is uncomfortable for the Rockets. They have a first-year general manager and Rafael Stone. You know, I think people around the league want to test a new GM, but what they've seen from him so far is that he is holding to what he has been consistently told teams. Here is the kind of package I want for a player of James Harden's magnitude, and I'm going to keep working you guys until I get it. And as uncomfortable as this is, what would be much worse for the organization would be to sell themselves short on a trade package. This is a long-term decision that's going to set up the future of this organization, and I think they're willing to live through what is going on right now until they can get that deal, but they would like to get it done as soon as possible.
Now, but the living through piece makes sense because he has multiple years left on his deal, so it's there isn't really a rush here, and he can't do anything but continue to play in the interim. Meanwhile, you mentioned one of the teams that he wants to go to is Brooklyn. The Nets have their own problems. By now, most are probably aware of Kyrie Irving, his absence, the video that was circulating yesterday on Twitter and other places of him apparently at a birthday party, maskless. The team put out a statement, or the general manager put out a statement yesterday. Let me show it to you here from Sean Marks. We are aware of a video on social media featuring Kyrie at a family gathering. We are reviewing the circumstances with both Kyrie and the NBA in order to determine compliance with health and safety protocols. Kyrie will have the opportunity to address his absence when he is ready to do so. Well, we at this point have no idea when that might be. But Woj, you were telling us earlier that at this point, when he may return has sort of gotten out of his hands a little bit. Explain that to the fans.
Well, it's in the league's hands now, and they're going to decide if there is a violation of the COVID protocol by going to that gathering with so many people in an enclosed area and no masks. You know, he's looking at possibly, or perhaps even likely, a quarantine of an extended period of time. Loss of salary would be about $410,000 a game for each game he misses because of that incident. And so right now, him wanting to come back and play, or the Nets wanting him back, it is not in their hands because of that video. You know, don't expect to see Kyrie Irving back perhaps through next week. If the league rules against him on that.
And again, there doesn't seem to be any indication of when he wants to in the first place. Woj, outstanding as always. Thank you. We will keep you close and we'll see if anything develops on Harden today. Meanwhile, let me run the floor through some of the other NBA action from yesterday. Joel Embiid, 45 points and 16 rebounds. The Sixers hung on to beat the Heat in overtime. Danny Green matched the Sixers' record with 9 threes. He scored 29. Mike Scott added 16 in the win. Elsewhere, the Pacers held off Steph Curry and the Warriors 104-95. So Indiana improves to 7-4 on the season. Miles Turner had 22-12 for the Pacers. Steph Curry finished with 20 for Golden State. And Kevin Durant had 34 points, 13 assists, 9 boards. Bruce Brown made a huge contribution starting for the absent Kyrie Irving, and the Nets rallied from 18 down to beat Denver 122-116. And the Nets will play again tonight, and you will see it here on ESPN, part of our NBA doubleheader. They're heading to the Garden, take on the Knicks at 7:30 Eastern, followed by Zion and the Pelicans squaring off against Kawhi and the Clippers. And tonight on ESPN, our coverage begins with Stephen A's pregame sports center at 7 Eastern. Still to come here, in Tom versus Time, Brady seems to be winning. The question is, can Tom beat the Saints? We will see if the third time is the charm. Next, this is Get Up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Come on, get up. All right, so D. Wood, tell me what you thought of this yesterday. So the Raiders, they made an announcement. They hired Gus Bradley to be their new defensive coordinator, which is terrific. And then they put this picture up of him on their social media. The problem is that isn't him. That's Ken Whisenhunt, who's only been in the NFL since like 1911. And then here's the actual Gus Bradley. They corrected it. D, D-Wood, what are your thoughts?
Come on. Come on, Las Vegas. What the hell are you guys doing? John Gruden was the same guy that wore Oakland Raiders hat in the game this year. Like, you guys got to get right, man. You got to get better than that. Come on.
They do seem to be struggling a little bit with simple things like those. As we continue, two of the NFL's most exciting young stars will face off in Buffalo this weekend. Which quarterback will stake his claim on the future and lead their team to the championship game? We'll answer that question next on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
I got my new show debuting in the new year on ESPN Plus. Our show will have expert analysis.
Yes!
Signature debate panel.
Yes!
And can't miss interviews.
Yes, yes, yes.
Sign up now at ESPNplus.com.
I cannot get enough of that promo. Meanwhile, it is Overreaction Wednesday. Here we go, Graziano. I'm going to give you some statements. You tell me if they're overreactions. The third time is a charm. The Buccaneers will beat the Saints.
Yeah, overreaction. I think I've been clear about this throughout the show. I just think the Saints are the better team overall. I think they have more experience as a team. This time of year, obviously I recognize that Tom Brady has more experience than anybody this time of year, but as a team, and I think they're going to be a tougher defense than what Tom's been playing against for most of the last month plus.
The next one involves the Ravens, and here we go. The Ravens will be dangerous the rest of the way now that they've won a playoff game. Is that an overreaction?
Yeah, this was such a relief. You could see it on Lamar Jackson's face and hear it in that post-game interview he did with Lisa Salters. I mean, this mattered to him. He knew what was being said about him, and I think the team knew that too. The team loves him, and I think this is a team that feels very good about the way it's operating right now. The defense is healthier than it's been in a while. The run game is dominant. I think they're going to be a problem.
All right, one more, and this one has a lot of people interested. Deshaun Watson will be starting for a different team next year. Overreaction?
When I wrote it on Sunday night, I said overreaction, but the last couple of days of reporting have kind of made me wonder about it. I still think it's more likely than not that he stays in Houston just because of how difficult it'll be to move him. But the Texans have work to do to mend that relationship. And if they don't get that work done successfully, this could continue to be an ugly situation into the summer.
I'm intrigued. Meantime, one of the great players in Texans history, Andre Johnson, the receiver who was known to be very quiet during his career, just unprompted, posted this yesterday. If I'm Deshaun Watson, I stand my ground. The organization is known for wasting players' careers. Since Jack Easterby walked into the building, nothing good has happened in the organization. It's pathetic. And DeAndre Hopkins, who was drafted by Houston and then traded last year, tweeted on top of that, when Dre speaks, listen. So this is fascinating to me. I'll say it again. When a quiet man speaks, you should listen. And Andre Johnson has always been very quiet. So, Dominique, you made a really fascinating analogy earlier today in which you described Andre Johnson saying this basically to Deshaun Watson and what it made you think of.
Oh, yeah. It seems like Andre Johnson is the ghost of Christmas future for Deshaun Watson, letting him know what his future is like. And I'm not sure that they can fix things in Houston, but this could be the difference. Deshaun Watson is going to be great no matter what, but this could be the difference in from going to the Hall of Fame or going in the Ring of Honor. Like, in your stadium, if you are a great Texan, they'll put you in the Ring of Honor. If you are a great football player, quarterback specifically, that wins Super Bowls and gets MVP trophies, then you go in the Hall of Fame. And nothing that's happened at Houston since he's been there suggests that this organization is going to do that for him. And then for them to just kind of disregard the work that should have been done to find a GM and just kind of pick a guy based on a relationship, that to me, that doesn't feel like something that you should have confidence in. I think he has some leverage and some power in his situation. Even if he doesn't choose to hold out, he can still, just being there and being the quarterback and the face of the franchise and the team leader and being disgruntled, like, that will sink a team. So they need to either make him feel better about all this, or they need to move him somewhere else. And I hope for his sake he moves somewhere else and has the career that that his talent deserves.
Well, D. Wood, here's what I find fascinating. Taking Watson out of the discussion, if you were to name the two greatest players in Texans history, they are Andre Johnson and J.J. Watt. Well, Andre Johnson is now tweeting at him that he should hold his ground, and J.J. Watt walked off a field apologizing to Watson for ruining or wasting one of his seasons. D. Wood, if you're Deshaun right now, what's going through your mind?
Well, Greeny, listen, player empowerment is at its highest peak, you know, that we've seen in the NFL, I think, ever. And if you're Deshaun Watson, yes, you just signed a new extension for the Houston Texans, but you're in a clear position of power right now. And I think what Andre Johnson basically saying, like, look, dude, you're 25 years old. You need to control the narrative of your career. We've seen a lot of players, whether it be in the NFL, NBA, other sports, that are doing that. They're flexing their muscle. Now, I think Deshaun Watson need to do that as well before he wasted away in a wasteland in Houston.
Well, I will say, Dan Graziano, to you, my insider, you sort of perked up my ears at the beginning of this conversation when you said on Sunday you thought it was an overreaction. And the reporting you've done since then has maybe altered your thinking. What can you tell us?
Well, just asking the question, is the relationship repairable, and getting the answer, I don't think so, from multiple people. I mean, it makes it, look, it's January, right? There's time. And it's possible that the Houston Texans could take steps that convince Deshaun Watson that things are going to be different. But I mean, the Andre Johnson tweet is not nothing. I mean, this is a guy, as you mentioned, you never hear from. And he's saying this organization is known for ruining players' career or wasting players' careers. I mean, you have to pay attention to that if you're Watson. And that puts Houston Texans in a situation where they have to do a lot of convincing of him that that's not true. And it doesn't sound like he trusts them.
Look, a year ago yesterday, this team had a 24-0 lead over the Chiefs at Arrowhead Stadium. And look at all the things that have happened since. And while I will not argue against all the things that we are saying, trading DeAndre Hopkins, there does seem to be so much dysfunction. It is worth throwing in, Neek, very quickly. Over the last 10 seasons, they've won the division six times. Mm. The only teams that have won more in that stretch are the Patriots and the Packers. So it hasn't been all that bad in Houston. Is that right?
No, I certainly agree with you that it hasn't been all that bad in Houston, but they haven't matched what Deshaun Watson is bringing them. And I think the straw that broke the camel's back in this situation was the way that they kind of bungled and kind of showed a bit of bias and no concern for Deshaun Watson in the hiring that they just did, disregarding the search firm. Like, to me, that's what concerns me, is the process of decision-making that's a problem there for Deshaun Watson. So I'm not in the building, but if Deshaun Watson says he wants out, and then a guy like Andre Johnson says that he should kind of hold his ground, then that is what I'm responding to more than I'm responding to their record or their division wins over the past several years.
Yeah, to be clear, me too. And so we will keep a very close eye on that. And obviously Graziano will be reporting on it for us. Meanwhile, coming up now, because we are on some level all still 12 years old, it is time for our wood-based pun of the week. D. Wood, every single week we seem to change the name of your segment.
This is knock on wood, damn it.
Taking him to the woodshed.
Greeny, how is that possible?
Firewood.
Your soul is mine.
This week it is the wood pile, chopped wood.
Excuse me?
Sour wood. The lights shine brightest, of course, in Hollywood. Is wood fire turkey. Damian Woody is going to call someone a turkey.
Perfect distillation of how stupid TV is, and I love it.
This week, we are calling the feature, What Would Wood Do? And yes, we know the first wood should be spelled differently. Can I tell everyone, in a moment of just total transparency, we spent so much time in the meeting this morning discussing whether we should spell that W-O-O-D or W-O-U-L-D, that I can't imagine all the things we could otherwise have accomplished. That said, D. Wood, this week, What Would Do?
Yeah, Greeny. Well, I'm going to go with the Pittsburgh Steelers right here. And what we saw from the Pittsburgh Steelers is an overall decline in their, what we call their physical identity. We've known the Pittsburgh Steelers throughout the years to be this physical bunch of guys. On the defensive side of the football, it's Blitzberg. On the offensive side of the football, this team has lost its way as far as its physical identity. Yes, they've been able to to produce a bunch of wide receivers. Yes, Big Ben over his career has been a magician in the pocket, but we've clearly seen what Father Time has done to Big Ben. Big Ben cannot move around anymore in the pocket like he used to. And where the Pittsburgh Steelers have declined the most is up front with their offensive line. Mike Munchak, their former offensive line coach, he's moved on to the Denver Broncos. When he departed, I think part of the Pittsburgh Steelers departed as well, because clearly you could see all year long from the Pittsburgh Steelers a decline in physicality, and it's been rearing its ugly head the whole season, particularly down the stretch, and it ultimately cost them an early exit in the playoffs. They need to somehow reinvent or find that physicality, or they're going to find themselves in a similar position for years moving forward.
I like it. And to summarize again, what would do? You would run the football, which is not a surprise from an offensive lineman. And whether it was because they couldn't or they just didn't try, they didn't run the ball at all when their season started to get away from them this year, Dominique. And so I think that's right. Do you feel like we have sort of seen the end of this little iteration of Pittsburgh Steelers football with Ben and all the things they've been doing? Do they need to start over?
Yeah, it feels like it, but that's not the way that they do things, which I kind of respect. Last year, they had an opportunity to rebuild because Ben got injured. It was early in the season. They could have held onto that first-round pick and possibly picked up a quarterback in last year's draft. They didn't. They traded that away, and they showed a commitment to their team that they want to win at all costs. I'm not sure if that was the right choice, but that seems to be part of what has built the culture of toughness that they have in Pittsburgh, is they always believe they can win. They can always kind of lean into that idea. So it's hard for me to believe that this one season, suddenly they got soft. So maybe it appears like they haven't been playing tough and they've been SOF capital T all season. It may be true, but I don't believe that all the history of the Steelers that we know and the culture of the Steelers and the identity of the Steelers is not going to come back. It's not just going to be gone. Although Ben Roethlisberger's money suggests that he's going to be gone pretty soon.
Well, he's going to have to redo his deal if he's going to come back. The cap's right now over $41 million against the cap next year. Quickly, what are some realistic changes we should be expecting to see in Pittsburgh?
Look, they're going to have to do something about the offensive line because it didn't play well. And you talk to people there, and that was their main problem all year. But they have a lot of work to do. They have free agents, Bud Dupree, Juju Smith-Schuster, number of guys, and young guys like T.J. Watt, Minka Fitzpatrick are going to need contract extensions pretty soon. It's a big project they have to keep that team. Look, Dominique's right. Their down year is 8-8, right? So that they don't go through rebuilding,
right?
But they're going to have to figure out a lot in order to keep that going.
Yeah, they've never had a losing season under Tomlin. I'll say it. What would do was pretty good. D Wood, I think we like it. I think we have ourselves a winner.
I think we should change
this
it for next week.
Wood-based pun. We will continue in just a moment. We're talking about one of the all-time greats, Aaron Rodgers. He's going to walk right into the Hall of Fame. But is there something I believe I could do better? We'll get to that next.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
We're back on Get Up, and we have a great one tomorrow night between two of the top women's teams in the Pac-12 and the country. Squaring off in the desert, it's Ari McDonald, one of the best players in America, leading number 11 Arizona against number 10 Oregon. That's tomorrow, 7 Eastern, on ESPN and on the ESPN app. And with that, we welcome you back to our studios here at the Seaport District of downtown in New York City. Greeny and Graziano, Dominique Foxworth, Damian Woody with us as well. We're with you commercial-free until the top of the hour. So the next 14 minutes, commercial-free here on Get Up, talking football with you. And then First Take will take over. And they'll be talking about Kyrie Irving. Is he worth all the drama? And speaking of drama, what will the Rockets do now that James Harden has spoken out? Stephen A. Max and Charlie coming your way, top of the hour. We're with you commercial-free until then. And here's a fascinating matchup. This weekend, Aaron Rodgers and the Packers take on Aaron Donald and the Rams. Yesterday, the quarterback was asked about facing a future Hall of Famer himself at defensive tackle. Take a listen.
It's very rare that you have an impact player that rushes from the inside. But most of the real, real impact players when it comes to pass rush are edge rushers. A little different with 99. Just one of those special talents that we haven't seen a whole lot of in this game, in the history of the game.
Well, look, when the Rams travel to Lambeau, it's a battle of the most elite offense against the most elite defense. This is according to our analytics. The Packers are number one in offensive efficiency. The Rams are number one in defensive efficiency. So it is strength on strength. And you know what? Let's talk about this for a minute here. D. Wood, let me come to you again as an offensive lineman. Can you explain for the fans who are aware of how great Aaron Donald is, and we see the incredible plays where he takes on two and three guys and all of that, but just specifically the problems he creates based upon where he lines up on the line of scrimmage, as Aaron Rodgers was saying?
Yeah, listen, Green, a couple of things. Number one, it's just rare that you see a guy like Aaron Donald, a guy who's like 280 pounds. And just for everyone, all the viewers out there, you know, that usually the defensive tackles are 300 pounds plus, but a guy that's 280 pounds that can literally wreck a game is just unheard of in today's game. Okay? This is a guy that can that's a supreme pass rusher from the interior. You don't see that in the game. So when you game plan during the week, there's always – coaches always circle certain guys who can wreck a game. Guess what? Aaron Donald is that guy. So you got to identify – when pass protection, you got to identify a guy like that. You got to try to redirect protections. Do everything possible to get to it, try to eliminate him out of the game. You won't do it, but you can just try to slow him down because he's going to be a problem for Aaron Rodgers in the middle of that pocket.
And so, Nick, you see the question on the screen there as to whether the Rams are the worst matchup for the Packers. Donald has banged up ribs. Hopefully, just for those of us who love football, he's healthy enough to be the factor he usually is, because what a matchup that is. Was this the toughest way that Aaron Rodgers could have gotten this weekend?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty tough. I guess we don't talk as much about the offense because obviously he's not going against the offense, but his defense is playing well, and that Rams offense is not going to be able to put up a whole lot of points. So that lightens the load on Aaron Rodgers some, but this matchup is tough, not just because of Jalen Ramsey and Aaron Donald. They are great, but they have compliments to them. So Darius Williams, the corner opposite Jalen Ramsey, has been fantastic, and Brockers and the other defensive linemen have been feeding off of Aaron Donald. So as long as those guys are out there healthy and playing well, it's going to be a tough matchup. They're not going to be able to do whatever they want on this team. But fortunately for them, they're playing against a team that has a quarterback that's playing with four fingers on his throwing hand. So it's going to be pretty tough for them to put up enough points to knock off the Packers. But the Packers are going to have a hard time moving the ball and scoring against this pretty dominant Rams defense.
And to be clear, he's talking about Jared Goff, who had thumb surgery just 2.5 weeks ago, and that of all the fingers you could be missing as a quarterback, that's probably the worst one. You're covering this game this weekend. What is your sense? Give us some of the notes that you're looking forward to.
Yeah, I think the key is how healthy is Aaron Donald, right? Is the rib cage injury that he's dealing with going to affect him? Such an explosive player. We heard Jeff Saturday on this show yesterday talk about how offensive linemen will be taking shots at that area, yeah, you know, to try and weaken him for the game. So that could matter. And then, you know, the other thing, the Packers are missing their left tackle. David Bakhtiari, I mean, he got hurt in practice a couple weeks ago, out for the year. So if the Rams have the ability to get around the edge, that's going to affect the pass protection that has been really, really key for Aaron Donald this year.
Yes, that was
Aaron Rodgers.
For Aaron Rodgers, yes, that's a devastating blow, and Rodgers himself was devastated by losing that. We will see. Again, the injury to Aaron Donald and the injury to Jared Goff feel like they will be critical factors in that game this weekend. All right, now it is time for another of our favorites. Time for On the Clock, where I will give each of you 30 seconds, and we will have a couple of different thoughts here. And Dominique, I'm going to start with you. Buffalo-Baltimore is a great matchup this weekend. Who you got this weekend, Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen? 30 seconds, go.
Man, it's tough. They both were the reason why their teams won last week, but I'm going to have to go with Lamar Jackson because his strength matches up well with Buffalo's weakness on defense, their inability to stop the run. And on the other side, Josh Allen, he really killed those zone defenses against the Colts because of his ability to buy time. The Ravens have excellent man coverage guys, and they're not going to give you time. They're going to pressure him. I expect they both will play well, but I think Lamar Jackson has a better situation across from him than Josh Allen does.
both of them in the same draft class, both coming off of their first ever playoff wins last weekend. D. Wood, I'm coming to you next. The other AFC game, what is the one thing the Browns have to do to upset Kansas City? 30 seconds, go.
Greeny is going to have to be running the ball. Play to your strength if you're the Cleveland Browns. You know, we all know what Patrick Mahomes and company, they're going to do. They can score, you know, at the blink of an eye. But if you're the Cleveland Browns, you want to try to slow this game down. Slow this game down. You have the most dynamic duo of backs in the National Football League, one of the top offensive lines. You have to ground and pound your way to try to win this game. And ultimately, when you get into the red area, you have to score touchdowns, not field goals.
It'll be a fascinating matchup there. Again, another young quarterback. Now, they're both young, candidly. We talk about Patrick Mahomes like he is the old man. And in that group of four AFC quarterbacks, he actually is. Graziano, for 30 seconds for you, as you and I have been sitting here talking a little bit during breaks about some of the troubles the NBA is having right now with COVID and rescheduling, I know that got you thinking a little bit about football. Go.
Right, because the protocols, the NBA is changing their protocols, and I'm following Woj's reporting. He tweets yesterday that they'll no longer be able to have guests in hotel rooms. I'm thinking, why were they ever allowed to? So it seems like the NBA hasn't done quite as much work on the protocols for operating outside the bubble as the NFL and its players did before this season. Look, it was sloppy at times. The Broncos had to play without a quarterback. The Browns have to play a playoff game without their coach. But they've got 262 games played that were supposed to be played by now. They got seven left. I think that accomplishment by the NFL and its players is pretty impressive considering the circumstances.
Totally agree. And it is worth pointing out, I know everyone knows it, but the way the NBA is structured, just the way their schedule is structured, they do so much more travel. It's a different challenge.
No question.
I know you know that.
I just think it points up what the NFL has actually pulled off here.
That I totally agree with. Okay, and now it's time for D-Fox.
I first got the email with this quote in it. I got upset because I was like, damn, somebody in the organization leaked this. I actually had a dream last night that I was a corner, had to prepare for that. Ooh. And that really, seriously, I woke up this morning with stress. Man, we about to get paid. I started to call a team so I could sign. Good God, just so I could retire again. Juju, if you like to dance before the game, you know what? Dance. He gonna dance on your emblem. He gonna dance in your end zone. Dance wherever you want.
All right, so this is called What Does the Fox Say? As Dominique Foxworth here. This time, I'm sort of turning the tables. I ask you questions. This time, I'm going to make statements, and you're going to be forced to respond to them whether you want to or not. And for the first one, I've actually prepared a graphic. Here's my first statement. Antonio Brown is the X factor in the game this weekend between the Buccaneers and the Saints. We're asking what's going to be different for Tampa Bay. This guy's what's going to be different. These last 5 weeks, he and Brady have clicked. Look at the numbers. 36 targets, 27 catches, all those yards, 5 touchdowns. And even last week when they didn't target him that much, he had the big touchdown catch. He has become a difference maker on that offense, and I believe he is the X factor in the game Sunday. What does D-Fox say?
Well, I mean, I talked about earlier that I think Gronk is probably the X factor needing to win that matchup against Malcolm Jenkins, but I don't think Antonio Brown has had nearly the effect that we expected him to have. And having numbers in the last several weeks, I think, is impressive. Congratulations. But I don't think that he's been playing against this Saints defense, and that's going to be a whole different story. Having numbers is a result of Tom Brady having time to throw the ball and Tom Brady making concerted effort to get him the ball on big plays. I'm not sure he's going to have the time, and he's certainly not going to be that wide open when he plays the Saints this weekend. If they're relying on Antonio Brown to carry them over the top, I'm even more sure than I was earlier in the show that the Saints are going to win.
Oh, you will find yourself incorrect on Sunday. Next, this is my statement. Of all the 7 openings in the National Football League for coaches, the worst vacancy in the NFL is the Philadelphia Eagles. You are inheriting, when you become the coach, a quarterback that you may or may not want, and a quarterback controversy, which every coach hates. Plus, you've got an aging and not very talented roster that is way over the salary cap, and they just fired a coach that everybody loved who won the Super Bowl less than 3 years ago. That's a tough spot to walk into. What does D-Fox say?
I feel like you just crowbarred this in here so you can make sure to point out that the Jets is not the worst opening as it normally is, because you nailed all the points. I agree with everything you said, except for at the end, the part where you said everyone loves the coach. It seemed pretty clear that their starting quarterback didn't love the coach. seemed pretty clear that a lot of their defenders didn't love the decisions that the coach made at the end of the season. And other than that, you're right. Like, I don't want this job. I don't think there are very few NFL head coaching jobs, so somebody will take it. It's probably going to be somebody that's already on their staff. They'll promote up to take over for that position. But it is by far, I think, the worst opportunity of anyone of any of the jobs that are open right now in the NFL.
Okay, last one, and this one I will acknowledge is self-serving. But Aaron Rodgers, who was a regular guest on the show of our friend Pat McAfee, leaked yesterday the fact that he is going to be a host on Jeopardy coming up. He's going to be one of the people who fill in. So my statement is, I would be a better host on Jeopardy than Aaron Rodgers. That's what I say. What does D-Fox say?
I mean, of course. Like, you are a host. Like, if you showed up to play quarterback on Sunday, no one's going to say that you would be a better quarterback. It would probably be more entertaining to watch you try to play quarterback than to watch Aaron Rodgers try to host, because that's fantastic. But of course you'd be a better host. Like, you've made your career hosting things. Aaron Rodgers is not a host.
You are absolutely correct, Dominique. Okay, so there we go. Now that we finished today with a little bit of
look
fun.
Look at you hosting.
Okay, yeah. I want you to all hear this little exchange. The other day, Lamar Jackson was asked a question by a reporter named Mike Jones. He found that funny. That question was then put to John Harbaugh, and the following ensued.
He's not a big speech maker, but like you guys, when he says something, you listen, right? I mean, I didn't know who was the guy that he talked about, the rapper from Houston? What's that guy's name?
Mike Jones.
Mike Jones. I'm not going to get a Mike Jones album or something, or see what this guy Mike Jones is about. He seems like he's popular. I didn't know. It's cool.
One song off the top of my head is Flossing. You know, I listen to that a lot growing up. Yeah, I stay flossing in that candy paint.
Okay, so in the moment we have left, Dominique, I think the funniest part of that was when John Harbaugh said he needs to get a Mike Jones album and see what he's about. Mm. You couldn't have said that any funnier than he did.
Well, he said his name properly. He said it like he's heard it before. Mike Jones, 281-330-8004. It seemed like Harbaugh was familiar with it to some degree, but you're not going to get a current Mike Jones album. I don't know if he's still making music. I was shocked that Lamar knew who Mike Jones was, because, like, Mike Jones ain't been popping since the early 2000s, right?
D. Wood, funny or not funny? Well, there's a delay for you. Let me come over to Dan Graziano really quickly. That was funny. You actually, I have breaking information. You've been talking to Mike Jones.
Yeah, the reporter that asked the question, not the rapper. I texted him. Yeah, he said it happens to him all the time. Players ask him all the time. First time ever in a press conference. So more on that story as it develops.
I will be live on ESPN Radio Coast to Coast in 60 seconds.
My first
take starts now.